Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin has known the Kennedy family for decades, both professionally and personally. She's been poring over the 2,300 pages of documents released by the FBI and joins us this morning on the line from Concord. Good morning, Doris,
Good morning, thanks very much for speaking with us. I'm delighted to be with you.
Overall, what's your reaction? And were there any surprises in this pile of documents for you?
Well, the most interesting thing to me was just realizing the extent of the death threats that had come to Teddy Kennedy. I remember in 1980 when we were talking with him about the question of whether he would run for the presidency, and he noted to us that his children were concerned about whether or not there'd be an attack on him as there had been on his brothers. But he just said, at a certain point, you have to decide, almost by a matter of will, that you will not allow yourself to be afraid. And he talked about the fact that life would be diminished if you allowed yourself to live that way. But on the other hand, even as his mind was telling him that, what you knew from his own experience and of Bobby's as well was that if either one of them had been in motorcades where there was a sudden explosion, their instinct would take over. And as was reported yesterday, at one point, Teddy just fell to the ground when there were firecrackers that went off. And my husband said the same thing happened with Bobby Kennedy in Brazil at one point in a motorcade. There was a sudden firecracker. He froze, went into a defensive crouch, and fear displaced his smile until he suddenly then started waving to the crowd. So just imagining the amount of these death threats and wondering how many of them actually reached him, it makes that effort of will to conquer your instinctive body fears even greater than I had realized.
From what you know, from your personal experience, did he try to shield the family from this pile of death threats that he received over his lifetime?
My guess is that he did. I remember at one point, you know, Joan Kennedy saying that she really knew, despite the fact that they were trying to keep her from learning about this. And that would make sense, I'm sure, especially if he's making a decision to go forward. He has to take that on his own responsibility, so he would want to protect them as much from the knowledge that he probably did have.
One document on another subject said Ted's father, Joseph Kennedy, was a special service contract for the Boston office of the FBI from 1943 to 1954. What do you know about that relationship?
Oh, that relationship is absolutely fascinating. As far as I know, they met during the days when Joe Kennedy was working with Roosevelt in the 1930s, and Hoover was, of course, in Washington. And they became good friends. So on the one hand, what you see in these documents is that the FBI takes a personal responsibility to protect Teddy Kennedy. At one point, Joe Kennedy's able to call in the FBI to be concerned about a column that Drew Pearson's about to write that somehow is based on an adverse FBI report linking Teddy to Pinkos, and the FBI assures him that no such report existed. On the one hand, you see Ted Kennedy asking Mr. Hoover for an essay in Fruitful Bough, the book about his father, and you see him tipping off Ted Kennedy in 1970 about the SDS attempt to embarrass him at a speech. And yet, on the other hand, when Ted does call in Hoover before his committee to testify, Hoover's furious, you know, thinking, I have this special relationship, look what I've done. So there are times when he's being used and allowing the FBI to be used, especially during the Nixon time when they tried to get more information about Mary Jo Kopechne to discredit Teddy, and other times when he's protecting Teddy. So it's a one-hand, other-hand kind of relationship, all based on the father in the beginning.
Your view on Chappaquiddick in these files. According to the files, limited public source information was collected by the FBI regarding Senator Kennedy's vehicular accident at Chappaquiddick Island that resulted in the death of Mary Jo Kopechne, that's quote-unquote, which seems to refute a long-held notion among some people that the FBI was involved in the investigation. Is that the case?
Yes, that was interesting. I mean, I think we always assumed they would have been involved in it, but I guess they just did not have the authority because of being a local investigation. Where their involvement came was after the fact, when Nixon wanted information about whether Mary Jo Kopechne had made a trip to Greece ever. And evidently the reason he wanted that was because in 1968 Teddy Kennedy had gone to Greece, and maybe Nixon's people were hoping, aha, maybe they were together in Greece. And at the time, as the files make clear, Nixon was recognizing or thought that Teddy might be the candidate against him in 1972, even considered a wiretap on him. So it makes sense that he would try and get anything he could that might make things hard for Teddy Kennedy.
And what did you make of the fact that the FBI was keeping track of the speculation that surrounded Ted's private life? For instance, looking into the rumor that the mafia was involved in a conspiracy to put him and Robert Kennedy in compromising situations with women, the plan allegedly would have involved Frank Sinatra and Marilyn Monroe.
I know. You wish that the FBI was spending time on the things that they really should be spending time on. In fact, I'm surprised there wasn't even more of that. You know, we've always imagined that that's what Hoover liked to do, you know, that he got some pleasure from the power that the information about politicians' sex lives gave to him, because he knew he might be able to use it when he needed to have it used. Information was absolutely, you know, the gold power for J. Edgar Hoover. And here there does seem to be this one crazy story about trying to put them in a compromising situation with Marilyn Monroe at a sex party, but there's not as much of it as I might have imagined, given what you think they spend their times on.
Finally, Doris Kearns Goodwin, big picture, what does this file do you think, the release of this big file do to the legacy of Ted Kennedy?
Well, I think in a certain way it just shows that there was a certain amount of courage that was necessary to stay in public life, that Teddy understood these death threats were there. Obviously, knowing that his brothers had been killed, they weren't simply vague threats that you have to just put out of your mind. And yet, public life and his own career and his own ambitions and desires to do things for the country, all that mixed together meant that he was going to go forward anyway. And as he said, just not let his life be diminished. Once you start looking around corners, then somehow your life is not going to be as full as it would. So you make a willed decision, even though your body at times might rebuff that when you hear a sudden noise and you fall to the ground. So I think in the end, it shows that this man was willing to move forward at a time when it might have been a lot easier to just say, I've had enough, my family's had enough, I'm just going to spend my time with my own family and go away.
Pulitzer Prize-winning author, presidential biographer, historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
You are more than welcome, Bob. Anytime for you.